Welcome back to the Mavon Perspective. With us today, we've got Scott Benjamin with Firethorn.
Yep.
And we've got Amory Leota with Gallagher. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Today's topic is tax strategies for real estate professionals on retirement plans and deferred comp.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Jenny. So Scott Benjamin, Firethorn Wealth Partners. We're here in Augusta. We are a small firm of eight folks. We have been in business since 2018. We just celebrated our seventh anniversary. So thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Amory Leota with Arthur J. Gallagher. I'm the National Wealth Strategist. I work very closely with Scott for the last 10 years to help individuals and business owners and real estate professionals find ways for tax efficiency and retirement planning.
I should add that my partners and I, we haven't just been doing this for 8 years. We've been doing it for about 30. So Amory and I have worked together for at least 10 years, maybe a little longer. Yeah. Yep.
Yes. And as a company, we've engaged Scott and Amory actually to talk about different plans around deferred comp for, you know, our staff and our agents. And so we thought this might be a better time to address the whole agent community in terms of what they can be doing to minimize their tax liability and start funding future retirement.
Yeah. So do we want to start with qualified plans and maybe work our way up?
Yeah. And I think it's important to, like, when we talk about some of these plans, maybe reference, you know, is there a point where at what earning level would I qualify to do something like this? And then at what earning level would I need more put in place?
Right.
You know, as, you know, we know as a independent contractor, you know, we're responsible for all of our taxes. We're looking to move any income into some type of tax shelter, but we also want to maximize cash as well.
And I did want to say that a lot of individuals don't really, at the age of working from, let's say, 25 to 55, they never really think about deferring money. They're really thinking about the present right now. And what I'm hoping with listening to this podcast is taking a step back and saying, okay, like we don't know how long we're going to be working and we don't know how much we will need at retirement. So being prepared and understanding the options now and really taking consideration of what we're bringing up, we are all living longer. Like there's mortality and there's morbidity. Morbidity is the issue going on right now. We are all living longer and we're working longer, but the clients are not having enough right now at retirement. So what steps can we talk to you about so you're prepared?
Yeah. Two things I would add to that. We always say, start with something, just start with something, even if it's very small. And the risk is not in dying too young. The risk is in living too long.
Exactly.
So.
And we've got a plan through one of our Realty Alliance partners, Dergalis, where we're able to set aside money that is handled offsite, independent third party. But what we're looking for too is a partnership with the two of you guys to where we can pull our agents under a Mabum umbrella also and then make that money work a little bit more for them.
Yeah.
So let's just start with, you know, I'm a new agent. I'm coming in. You know, I'm married. Let's say my spouse is a W-2 earners. How do I go about saying, okay, how much should I be setting aside and what vehicle is best to put it in? Let's say I'm earning, you know, 50 to 100,000 in commissions a year.
Yeah. Well, let me back up just 1 second. So you mentioned how much does somebody need to earn to put in the different buckets. I would rephrase that and say, how much do you want to put in a bucket or buckets? So not as much income driven, but the desire to save.
And the limits. The limits around how much you can put in.
Well, we can get real creative with limits.
Because maybe I'm not making a lot, but my spouse makes a lot of money and we're capped what we can put in as a W-2.
Well, I'll also tell people we're in the bucket business. You go fill up this bucket, we'll find another bucket for you to fill up. You know, I think the first thing, obviously you establish an emergency fund outside of this with cash. And then as you start to save for retirement, maybe that's an IRA or a Roth. Now we're talking about independent contractors, maybe just getting starting out young. So that would be a SEP possibly. And then as they want to save more. And so now you're talking, I want to save, you know, $70,000-$80,000 a year. You start looking at solo 401k and you start looking at maybe some profit sharing. Then we want to save more. We talked about this earlier, you know, approximately, hypothetically, $340,000 a year could save if they wanted to. Now, this is not your younger agent, but maybe somebody that's approaching retirement that feels like maybe they haven't saved enough. They could put away pre-tax over $400,000 a year. And yeah, that's not a misstatement. That's more than they made, because $31,000 or, you know, maybe somewhere $33,000 or $34,750 if they're between 60 and 63 from the one big beautiful bill. That's all that's coming in salary deferral. The rest of it would be a company contribution. So it doesn't necessarily mean they can't put in more than they actually made. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can get creative with that.
I do want to help people understand. So what Scott is talking about is a qualified plan.
Yes.
So traditionally, as you're an employee, your company would have a 401k. That's a qualified plan. And usually the investments that are available to you are limited to what's available on the for ERISA rules and the 401k. As somebody is a sole practitioner, sole proprietor, contractor, they may not have like a 401k available through MABUM, but that's why MABUM's using a contractor for them to set up
a solo 401k. Yep.
Or a SEP IRA. And this is giving you the power to defer some of your income now. So it's reducing your current year tax drag, and you're shifting that money now. So you're not paying tax, and it's going into a bank account, a separate chassis that's going to be invested in growing tax-free. And then at a future time at retirement, you're going to be accessing this and you're going to be paying taxes at that time. But it allows you to shift money to retirement, and it lowers your current year tax drag.
You could elect Roth. And you pay tax now.
And you could elect a Roth.
Yeah. So now let's go back to that younger, somebody just starting out in their career. They probably should do Roth because their marginal bracket could be 12, could be 22. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be a lot lower if they're successful in their career path. Going to be a lot higher when they retire. Pay your tax now. So that's also important. Do you go in pre-tax like Anne Marie's talking about, or do you elect to do after-tax? And for somebody that's younger, that after-tax absolutely is more attractive than pre-tax.
And just again, for people who are listening who may not know, so a Roth allows you to contribute a maximum of
$8,000 if you're over 50.
Yeah. And it is after-tax dollars that you're putting in. So you're not saving on taxes now, but it is invested and growing tax-free. And when you access the money at retirement, it's all tax-free. A lot of individuals who are younger are able to do it. Roth has a lot of requirements with adjusted gross income and limits to how much do you make and can you contribute.
But now, wait a second. Backdoor Roth.
Well, and
there's a way.
And if there's an age requirement in all of this, I think that's worth noting. But otherwise, we're going to assume at any age, you could be making a lot of money.
Yeah, if you're over 18, you can do an IRA or a Roth IRA.
Right, because I mean, you know, we have 20-year-olds making six figures.
Yeah.
So we want to say the Roth is for a lower income earner because the taxes are lower.
Yes.
Exactly.
And that can, to your point, that can be any age. Mm-hmm. And you would do that if you had a reasonable expectation that you were going to be doing the right savings things and you were going to be in a higher bracket when you wanted to access that money. AKA, you don't want to pay tax when you're accessing the money.
So let's pretend somebody, Scott, it doesn't matter their age, but they make $300,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what do I do? Well, so for the qualified plan world, they make $300,000. What would you recommend for them to do as a sole practitioner, a contractor?
All right. So I'm going to back up a little bit. My favorite, if you're in a high deductible health plan, You put the max in
an HSA,
in a health savings account. You rip up the debit card. You put that in a low cost index fund and you let that sucker compound. You come in and you do backdoor Roth. We haven't even talked about the children that may be pulled into the family business, the independent contractor, which brings in more tax savings. But then you go and you do backdoor Roth. Then you start funding the qualified plan. And again, you can get up over $70,000 between a combination a 401k and profit sharing, then you could enter cash balance land, which is where you can put
a lot of money in.
A lot of money in.
So there's a lot. So there's, if you make 300,000, you're married, you have a spouse. We don't rely on your income, so you can really defer a lot of it. There's an ability to almost defer almost all of it through all of these different mechanisms
right.
with qualified plans.
Right.
So let's pretend, though, that I make $700,000 and I've maxed out everything I can do with my qualified plans. What else can I do?
I don't know. Deferred comp? Now we move over to non-qualified plan land. Deferred comp.
Deferred compensation.
Yeah.
So deferred compensation is a way for an individual to, and it's typically happens through an employer-employee relationship. So real estate agents are a little different because they're contracted to a specific broker company, very different than other sole practitioners that may be on their own. But for somebody, for a company like Maybaum, where these real estate professionals are contracted to work with you, you know, Maybaum offering a deferred compensation plan allows an individual to elect to defer their income based on what the company decides to be invested similar to a 401k. They don't have an income tax implication of the amount that they're deferring. So they're saving on income taxes and it's invested. It's invested in, it could be invested in a myriad of ways. How can it be invested?
Really, there's not a whole lot of limits to how it can be invested yes. other than control issues that may come up. So I can't go develop my own subdivision and place that in this chassis. But outside of control issues, the limit, I mean, we talked recently with someone that does this over in Europe. They're putting in crypto and watches and right. all kinds of interesting things. We've never done it quite that exotic, but.
Yeah, deferred compensation is a non-qualified plan. What that means is it's not subject to ERISA. It is very flexible. There's no minimums or maximums. It really is a great way for somebody who's saying, I want to reduce my current year tax drag. Aside from all of the things that I'm doing with my accountant and my tax return, this is a way for me to control my income tax obligation this year through working with my company to defer any amount that I want, that I'm comfortable with based on my family situation, and it's going to be invested and it's going to be growing tax-free, which is great. At the time that I access my money, I'm going to be paying taxes at that time, but it just shifts the tax burden and the implication from now to a future time. Hopefully when your tax rate is lower,
right,
when
retired.
Your income is lower, yep. you're retired. Yep. And it gives, I love deferred compensation because of the flexibility. 1 year I can contribute money. The next year I have college expenses. I can't do deferred compensation. I'll max out my qualified plans.
There are more
plans.
Rules around the qualified plans for
right.
sure. Yeah.
But I love deferred comp because of the flexibility. I always tell all companies when I'm working with them, think about it because it empowers your employees or your contractors or your the greatest asset to control their current situation now.
So detour real quick. So my daughter's with us. She's 17. She's helping out social media. So we're talking about independent contractors. I think it's pretty frequent or normal in your world to have teams. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say I have a 17 or maybe a 19-year-old daughter away at school, internet marketing. Well, that tax rate is going to be a heck of a lot lower if I'm a successful agent. I'm in my mid-40s. I'm in the 37%. Bracket, I'm paying state, additional, zero. And so there's another tax strategy for your agents. Then that person can contribute to a Roth, either minor Roth or regular Roth. They have earned income mm-hmm. that they're earning for doing this internet marketing. So the independent contractor world offers almost endless
yeah.
tax opportunities.
Well, and you jumped ahead because I was actually going to bring this up.
Sorry.
Because a lot of our, some of our agents either operate under an LLC, mm. you yeah. know, they've incorporated a business either by themselves or with a team. So are there any other strategies, you know, like if let's say I have a business and I'm running maybe something, I've got people on my payroll, I'm running that through another mechanism outside of Maybaum.
Right.
They can then set up their own
yes.
individual plans
yes.
underneath their business,
yes.
which
yes.
would allow them further deductions.
There are limits to how much you individually can contribute to a qualified plan a year. So if you have multiple employers, there's going to be limits to how much you can contribute.
There is.
Yeah.
But again, that's where the the non-qualified, the deferred comp, so they could set up a completely independent deferred comp plan outside of Maybomb. They create the rules. That's that's a retention tool to keep that, you know, that team that's.
Is that independent contractor teams or just salaried, like, you know, W-2?
It's going to be depending on the entity. So let's say you just mentioned about, see, real estate is so different from other companies. So if you're a traditional independent contractor, like you work as a carpenter, so you're not married, you can be a carpenter for ABC company and a few other companies. With Maybomb or a real estate professional, typically they are contracted and they're licensed to only work for one group like Maybomb. So there's definitely a pseudo employee-employee relationship. So if they have a separate LLC on the side where they are still working for Maybomb, but they have employees and that are working, you could set up a deferred compensation plan for your employees, but where their income is coming from is where they're setting up their deferred compensation plan. You see, so it just depends on where the money's flowing. Is it flowing from Maybomb or the company to the individual, or from the individual to their staff? And that's where you're setting up your deferred compensation plans to figure if that, hopefully that.
But again, that staff component that you're discussing, if I'm an agent, I have multiple people on staff. We have a team that is really working well at a high level. I want to try to create something that's going to retain them, that's going to incentivize them to continue to perform at the high level, and we all stay together. That's where another deferred comp plan outside of a Maybomb deferred comp plan could really be great in that team structure.
Mm-hmm. And I want to mention about like just the investment options. So a lot of people will say to me, I don't know if I want to max out my 401k. And I don't know if I want to do a deferred comp because I work with my financial advisor and, or I invest in XYZ and I'm going to make more money there. So it's super important also, as qualified plans are limited to what you can invest in.
Right.
But for non-qualified plans, it's super important to make sure that investment chassis and what you're investing in is attractive to your participants.
Sure.
Right. You don't want it to be like just a savings account or something that's making 4 or 5%. You want to give people options and diversification and variations. A lot of the deferred compensation plans that I'll design with Scott, they'll have different tranches. Do you want an aggressive bucket, a balanced bucket, a conservative bucket? What's your time horizon of when you're going to be accessing this money? And there's a lot of great alternative investments that you can invest in, like private equity, private credit, private debt, through that deferred compensation plan, that if you wanted to do this on your own, the minimums are so much larger.
Right. You want to give them access to something that's special. And also, this is in the news a lot right now. The Trump administration is democratizing the access to these alternatives in qualified plans. We'll see how that plays out. But we've been doing that in deferred comp plans and these types of plans for years. It's not something that's new to us. But it will be interesting because it is becoming more prevalent.
Yes.
We'll see how that, it's going to be trickier in qualified plans, but that's not new in the deferred comp space. In fact, these people that run these organizations like a Blackstone or a Carlyle or, you know, any number of them, they're all doing this inside their own firms with these types of investments. They are utilizing these tax strategies to potentially make the taxes go away forever. We always ask somebody, are we trying to eliminate your tax footprint now, or are we trying to eliminate your tax footprint on a go forward? We won't get into this, but there is a way, you and I've talked about this, where you can do both. You can take the non-qualified plan investment, and this is way too deep for
this. Will be the next podcast.
Exactly.
But you can actually take the deferred comp concept and apply it in a pre-tax way in cash balance. You can actually do both, which sounds crazy, but you can eliminate the tax footprint now, and you can eliminate the tax footprint on a go forward basis.
Right. And for people who are considering, like, you know, I feel like a lot of people in the United States, I've heard of 401k. Some of them, not many.
401k is kind of a generic term. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And usually the investments, like, you know, they're pretty traditional,
right?
More like retail, Fidelity, Vanguard, like, right?
And they're good. They're great. Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah. And you know, these are typically low fee solutions. cash balance, people don't that's more like, I would say, level three of the qualified plans.
For sure.
And there may be other similar types of investments. What I love about deferred compensation plans is you really get the opportunity to invest in things that you wouldn't traditionally invest in, and you don't have a tax drag right now.
Right.
If you invested in the same product with your financial advisor, typically you're paying with these types of investments, like tax on 11 or 12%, these high performing credit funds. And that's a heavy ordinary income tax drag. There's no way around it. That's the way these funds generate income. They're usually interest income. Through deferred compensation, you're delaying that income tax. So it's a significant tax savings right now. And you're getting access to these great options that you wouldn't otherwise, or you would have a huge tax drag.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the other things to consider about the real estate profession in general is with the deferred comp too, there's no minimum every year to put in, because
no.
we all know right. the real estate market ups and downs with the,
yes.
with, you know, sure. call it, you know, the politics and interest rate markets. So, you know, if I'm an independent contractor in real estate, you know, my earnings this year might be significantly different than the next year. And so we're just putting in a mechanism in order to put money aside, no matter what
yes.
season of life
so
we're in.
One year, like you had a great year and you're like, all right, I know my tax return is going to be pretty heavy this year. A lot of real estate professionals will have to pay estimated taxes. Like, and they're thinking, all right, I didn't really project this or expect this. That deferred compensation mm-hmm. plan comes in really handy.
Well, and I touch on this with the newer agents, because sometimes when you're getting in from a W-2 situation, or maybe this is your first job, you know, you can say, oh, you have until April 15th the next year to make these contributions. Who's got that cash?
Right.
Nobody. And right. so the deferred comp kind of, and sort of what we try to do here at Maybaum, is take that money while they have it and just take it away so they yep. don't spend it.
Incrementally saving.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So that when it comes, you know, the next year, you're like, oh, well, you know, I can save all this money on taxes, but I don't have the cash. And it's a cash basis.
100%.
Now, I got to go back to something else you just said. So when you talked about the fluctuation of income, there's a strategy there too. So that year where, now again, there needs to be savings to do this, but that year where they're temporarily in a much lower bracket because it's been slow, we've had high rates, there's just not enough inventory, whatever. Well, now we start thinking about Roth conversion. So we've been putting money in pre-tax into the 401k or IRA. Well, now all of a sudden, if your bracket drops from 37 to 12, well, now let's talk about utilizing some of that low marginal rate, and let's do some Roth conversion. So there's always a strategy.
You're converting an IRA,
yeah.
which is a traditional IRA, to a Roth IRA, which is going to grow tax-free and pay you out tax-free. When you do the conversion, there's an income tax implication at the time of the conversion. But Scott has a great point. That year, your tax rate is so low, let's convert this now, and then I'm in a Roth.
Yeah.
You know, I tell every single individual who's 18 or older, if you have earned income, open a Roth. Yeah. Because I would, you know, back, I'm now aging myself, but back in, you know, so many years ago, I'm not even going to say it, like this wasn't available. And now, like, I would love to be contributing to a Roth. I mean, for me, like with the retirement plan that I have, I'm always thinking of, yes, I have X amount in my retirement, but take away 50% of that, because
yeah.
that's going to be going to taxes,
yep.
right? So that's also, as you're planning and sitting down with your CPA or your financial advisor, when you look at your buckets of money that you've been saving, I want you to always remember the tax implication. And that's also why you're like, oh, I thought I'd be okay, but half of that's going to taxes. What else should I be doing then right now,
mm-hmm.
right? To set myself up, because of, you know, a lot of it's going to be paid away from my 401k or from my IRA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why I also, during those new agent onboardings, you know, we stress the fact of get a good CPA, get
yes.
a good tax yes. planner, advisor, someone who works with real estate agents to understand the nature of the business, the nature of the income streams, and then where to put those buckets of money.
Yes.
Right.
And something we would stress as a financial advisor, financial planner, you want a planner, your tax and estate attorney, and your CPA.
And
all, yes.
Your insurance person.
Well, I'm putting, You're a former CPA, so I'm putting you. CPA. Yeah, and you're also an advisor.
Yes,
but, it's a strategy. It's a tax strategy. Yes.
Yeah, but making sure that they all communicate, and everybody's bringing ideas and consulting to the table, and you know the tax person is signing off on it. The tax attorney is signing off on it. That's incredibly
that is
important.
So
communication
is
very important.
And as I always say, sole practitioner, but as an independent contractor, like all of the obligation falls on their shoulders, right? At the end of the day, right? Like, they are their own silo of person for the tax, paying the taxes, the quarterly taxes. I cannot emphasize enough, starting out as soon as possible for getting that team in place is so important.
Yes.
And making sure they talk to each other. A lot of times they don't. A lot of times, and I practiced for 20 years before going into the space, and I fell guilty to this. Practitioners sometimes work in silos. They're very reactive to tax implications. This is what's due. Mm-hmm. They're reactive to tax forms. Push your CPA out of that
realm. That's what we call tax prep, not tax consulting.
Push them out of the way. Push them out of their comfort zone and say, I need you to advise me with planning now.
Yes.
You know, this quarter, September, October, November, December, is the time to do it with your CPA. What does my situation look like now? Okay, thank you. I know what my liquidity is right now. Now I'm going to go to my financial advisor. What should I be doing right now? Scott brought up HSA. HSA is a health savings account, and it's the only solution that exists in the US that allows somebody to take money and not pay tax on earnings and put it away in a vehicle. So it's like a Roth, right? It's growing tax-free. It's invested in growing tax-free. And at the time of retirement.
You forgot two other tax benefits. Pre-tax.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned. Just like a Roth, pre-tax.
No, Roth is post-tax, growing tax free.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said that
yes.
wrong.
Yes. Goes in pre-tax.
Pre-tax.
Potentially avoids FICA and FUTA and comes out tax free after growing tax deferred.
Yeah. HSA,
there is no tax benefit on the planet like it.
There's no tax. Right. There's a limit. How much can you do in an HSA a year?
$85.50 this year. $95.50 if you're over 55.
So to get
on a family
an HSA.
Plan.
You have to be in a high deductible
health plan. Yes.
If you heard about HSA and you're always like, I don't know, usually it gets confusing with FSA. If you know that your employer or you have that, max it out every year and don't touch it.
Yes. Don't touch it.
Yeah. That is the number one savings I tell everybody to do.
Yeah.
And then we talk about Roth if they're eligible.
I hope you got that idea from me.
I did.
Okay. All right. It's been
a long 10 years.
Yeah.
I got it from him. And then also, like, if a company offers a deferred comp, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thanks.
Thanks.